Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
I'ma take it to trial. Pray the Lord I beat the case.
It is Monday, May 2nd. Welcome to Midday Menace. I am Zach Smith, your host, here with Chris Drew. Got the bougie setup, Chris. You got like half a door behind you. Your hoodie's on. This is we're gonna give Chris a pass for the day, but looking like a homeless man.
I'm in a closet next to Harry Potter.
Right.
No, my mom is the Lincoln Riley of the medical world. So we're about to move again. And because I'm that guy that never wants to leave home, I'm going with her. And so right now downstairs is full of boxes. So I'm upstairs in the closet, if you must know.
There you go. Well, That is what it is. I'm excited to talk about kind of the weekend NFL draft. Some other crazy things that are going on. Jordan Addison is transferring and all the Pitt fans that went crazy on me for saying he wouldn't start at Ohio State. Like, I'm just wondering where you're at. Are you still backing the guy? Are you still going to stand up for him? Or are we going to realize the fact that Kenny Pickett made Jordan Addison a stat champion? Mm-hmm. And the minute he went through spring ball with the whatever dog shit you have left at quarterback, which, you know, probably not dog shit, but it's not Kenny Pickett.
It's Keenan Sovis. So he went through spring with Keenan Sovis and said, you know what? This ain't it.
Yeah, and so he said, you know what? I'm about to lose a ton of money. I better go somewhere with a great player. So he jumped to the portal. We'll talk about all that. But I want to start with the NFL draft and Ohio State. Here's the storyline. The storyline, Georgia broke the record. They broke the record that Ohio State held and one other team, I think. He had 14 players drafted after the 2015 season in the 2016 NFL draft. And Georgia broke it. They had 15 drafted. But I think what's crazier is they had 7 defensive players in the first 3 rounds, 8 defensive players overall. That means out of 11 guys on defense, 8 of them were just drafted. 7 of them were top 3 rounders. And I didn't even do the research. I should have. But the other 3, I'm sure, are still at Georgia. Like, it was an NFL defense. And that's why they won the national championship. Well, and that and Jameson Williams got hurt. That's just the reality of it.
So highly to Jameson Williams. Like, that's so incredible. Oh. Like, Jameson Williams single-handedly beat them the first time and would have single-handedly beat them the second time.
Well, he's that good. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just look at it, right? He was 12th overall and he tore the ACL. Like, he has injury concerns and he still went 12th overall.
Yeah, so, a knee injury for a speed receiver? Oof.
Oh, yeah, crazy. So, you know, obviously hoping and praying that he can stay healthy and get to that second contract and, you know, make a little impact, have a nice career in the NFL. That's obviously the hope. Detroit is they saw, I saw a picture of him and Aiden Hutchinson holding up their jerseys and his face was like not impressed. And it was like that look when you realize you are a first rounder, but Jared Goff is your quarterback.
And it probably speaks. I know he would have been smiling if he was next to someone who wasn't so corny. I don't know if you saw the Aiden Hutchinson draft party. It was so cringy, man. They were singing karaoke tunes.
I saw Aiden Hutchinson's mom and what sister? Who I don't know who that was, but his Mrs. Hutchinson. Hello, goodness. She is a first round mom. That's for sure. But a lot of conversation about kind of where Buckeyes got drafted, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously, you had Garrett Wilson, Chris Olave, the sole first rounders. And the two receivers that got taken. Then you had Nick Petitfriere, I think was in the third round, with Jeremy Ruckert was in the third round, which I think he went to New York, right?
He grew up a Jets fan. He's New Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, he grew up a Jets fan, going to New York with Garrett Wilson. I think he's going to be one of those guys that are going to be like, damn, they got him in the third round. I really do. I think he's going to have an 8 great NFL career. And then Tyreek Smith going 5th round. That's about right. And then the two surprises I think people were most surprised about is Thayer Mumford fell all the way to the 7th round and Haskell Garrett didn't get drafted. And so those are the two that people are like scratching their head, because Haskell Garrett was one of the best pass rushing D tackles in America. Mm-hmm. The issue with Haskell is he's not very big and he doesn't have as much explosion as you'd like, right? I mean, he basically ran a 5.1 40 at 6'2", 300 pounds. And 300 pounds is, I mean, he's he is chugging water before he steps on the scale to get up to 300. So he's just a little undersized, and the NFL is obsessed with size. I mean, you compare him to Jordan Davis. I know Jordan's more of a nose, but 6'4", 341, ran a 4.7. So he ran almost half a second faster than Haskell Garrett. He's got 4 inches in height and 40 pounds in weight. His arms are 3 inches longer. His hands are an inch bigger. I mean, it's Haskell's just a little bit undersized. Now, I am shocked he didn't get drafted late, like 5th, 6th, 7th round. But I've always told kids, and this is kind of a unique thing that people don't understand. If you're going to go in the 6th, 7th round, you'd rather go undrafted because then you and your agent can sit down and it's like recruiting, right? Teams still want you. They just didn't use a pick on you. And now you can pick the spot that you feel like is the best fit for you. You have the best shot to hit the two deep or make the 53-man roster, right? You get to pick. If a team selects you in the 6th round and it's not a good situation, you go there and they got 4 dudes that are monsters at D tackle, you're not going to make the roster. And now your career is off to a tough start. You're trying to find a way in the side door of another team, right? You're constantly looking to get that opportunity that if you were a free agent, you could have picked from the start and given yourself a chance.
Right. And obviously, like, you want to get in the door early, like undrafted free agent wise, because last thing you want is to be that 6th round pick, get cut, and then try to find a home while other teams are still trying to trim their rosters. Haskell Garrett, Tennessee. I mean, Mike Vrabel, I mean, that's where you want to be. And that's someone that's going to give him an extended look just based on the college connection.
Oh, absolutely.
And absolutely. Playing for LJ. So, I mean, that's kind of where you want to be. I always was a little bit concerned that Haskell Garrett was not so much of a, he was more of a finesse defensive tackle rather than a true power defensive tackle. But you know, that's where you want him. And I'm rooting for him. And then obviously we saw the Bears went and got Justin Fields, Master Teague.
The Bears as an organization should just be shut down. It really should. And what they're doing to Justin Fields and his career, I mean, they literally every draft pick, memes are going crazy. Like Justin Fields sitting there seeing another, you know, defensive player drafted or another guy that's not going to help him.
They had 2 cracks at George Pickens in round 2. They went corner safety. 2 cracks. Like, George Pickens is his boy. They work out every offseason together. Like, University of Georgia, they were supposed to play together at some point.
Yeah.
Cracks at him. They said, no, we're good. It's criminal what they're doing to Justin Fields. And honestly, I never, like, a year ago, I was thankful Justin Fields wasn't drafted by the Jets. Today, dear God, I wish he was drafted by the Jets.
There's no doubt, because the reality is what the Jets are doing right now, they're building a franchise. They really are. You know, they have what's his name? The kid that I recruited him. Anyways, they have the receiver that's already there from Ole Miss. I can't think of his name.
Is that Elijah Moore?
Yeah, Elijah Moore. They have Elijah Moore there. They bring in Garrett Wilson, Jeremy Ruckert. If Zach Wilson was Justin Fields, you'd be looking at a team, you're like, holy shit, like, they might make a Bengals run, right?
Yeah.
But they drafted the BYU quarterback. Like, what the fuck? Who was a good player, but I mean, when you had a shot at Justin Fields, this is still just mind blowing. They fell in love with him. I get it. Maybe they're going to be right. So far, they've been wrong.
First round mom.
Yeah, I mean, everyone listens to the show knows my thoughts back in that draft class that Trevor was 1, Justin was 2, and then everyone else was a huge step below.
Right.
A lot like next year's draft class is going to be with Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, and then a huge step down to whoever the fuck is third, Spencer Rattler or Caleb Williams or someone like that. So it just doesn't make sense. So if Zach Wilson can become a guy, if he can become what they thought he was, they're putting pieces around him to hopefully build something. The Bears are not. Bears are not helping Justin at all. He doesn't have a receiver. He doesn't have a run game. His O-line's terrible. Like, and they're just drafting corners and safeties like they're going to play 7-on-7. It's just wild to me.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The Jets, you know, the Jets got Sauce Gardner in round 1. They got Garrett Wilson in round 1. They got the Jermaine Johnson cat, who I thought was going to be a top 11, top 10 pick. I think he's better than Aiden Hutchinson. They got him in the first. They got Hall, the top running back in the draft, and they got Jeremy Ruckert, who's probably the most NFL-ready tight end.
Timeout. He's not the top running back in the draft. Not even fucking close. Kenneth Walker III is the top running back in the draft class. Not even close.
Okay. Per the draft experts.
Okay, well, I don't. We don't listen to draft experts.
Yep, heard you. Kenneth Walker, Seattle, but definitely, I think Hall was the first running back taken. Is kind of where I'm at. So they got their pick of running backs. So all they need Zach Wilson to be really is Baker Mayfield. Like if he's just Baker Mayfield, they're good. If he's just Jared Goff, that offense is going to do something.
Yeah, eventually. I mean, they're young. They're still young. Mm-hmm. You can tell they're making the right moves. I just don't think their move at quarterback was the right move, and that's the most important move, right? We're looking at what's going on in Carolina. What happened in L.A.? All of a sudden, they bring in Matt Stafford, and the team wins the Super Bowl. I mean, it's like they made the right move, right? I don't know that the Jets made the right move for their franchise, but I like everything else they're doing. As on the other side of it, I feel like the Bears got it right at quarterback, and they can't make a fucking move to save their life otherwise. It's just, it's disheartening because you don't want that kid to start off like this. Like you want him to be set up for success so that he can either succeed or fail, and it's on his own merit. Right now, it's not on his merit. It is solely on his situation, and that's why I've always said the NFL is situational. It is. And you look at if Zach Wilson becomes a pretty good player, they will say they made the right choice. It's like bullshit. You don't know that. Justin Fields is playing handicapped. You're tying one arm behind his back and telling him to fight. It's complete nonsense.
It's almost, I mean, it is ridiculous because history won't remember what the Bears did to him. History will say, oh, Ohio State can't produce quarterbacks. History will say, oh, Justin Fields was a bust. But in reality, we saw what happened. The Bears, not just, they tied him, tied an arm behind his back, strapped a weight to his ankle and told him to go swim. And it's getting really, really bad. I have a question, Zach, for you though. What does Ohio State wide receiver you? And if they aren't, what needs to happen for them to get there?
I'm not big on that.
I love it.
It's a media thing, right? It's like when you got nothing to talk about, let's talk about who's wide receiver you.
Well, welcome to the media.
I mean, I think they, whatever you want to call that, what are they, the best receiver room in the last, you know, decade? No, I mean, up there, Bama was one. I mean, you can't really argue that. Ohio State, with what Hartline's done and those kids that just came out and the kids that are coming down the pipeline, he's making a push at Bama when it comes to wide receiver history, I guess. But, I mean, if you really look at it from 1995 until now, they've had more first-rounders than anyone. I mean, you can always make a case for it, right? But I guess, what is the window? I mean, if you go 95 to now, what was that, 27 years ago? Yeah. So in the last 27 years, they've had the most NFL receivers, right? First round draft picks. And, you know, they would win that crown. But does 1995 really fucking matter to today? No, right? It's really, what have you done in the last 7, 8 years, maybe 10 years at the most? And in that, Bama has the crown. And Ohio State will push to either rival them or take that over, you know, probably 4 years from now, 3 years from now. When you look back at starting with Michael Thomas, on through Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel, all those guys, and then the three that just got drafted, and I know one of them is actually an Alabama player.
I was going to ask you, who do you credit for him and wide receiver you?
Alabama. It's totally different than Joe Burrow, right? Totally different because Jameson left because he didn't get pushed out, but basically they were like, you're not it.
He got nudged out.
Yeah, he got nudged a little bit to get to bring Jaxon Smith-Njigba. So I guess it's kind of similar to Joe Burrow because – same thing happened with Joe and Dwayne, right?
Right.
I just don't know if they made the right choice, but that's neither here nor there. But anyways, back to the point. Moving forward with Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Marvin Harrison Jr., Emeka Egbuka, those kids, when they come out, once they're through the draft, you're going to be looking at it like, damn. I mean, that was a run. Mm-hmm. So I think they will take whatever that crown is, wide receiver U or whatever. and that was kind of why we created Zone 6, because I thought that's just so fucking stupid. Wide receiver U, DBU, LBU. It's like
I like BIA better than DBU anyway. Well,
and that's why Kerry did that with the corners, because he saw what we did with Zone 6, and it was like, we're not trying to be wide receiver U. That's fucking stupid. We're trying to be Zone 6 and take motherfuckers' lives on the field. That's what we're trying to do. Not like be wide receiver U. That was the shit Clemson always tried to say. It's like, okay, cool, you're wide receiver U. Like, whatever that means.
Perfect segue, Justin Ross. His freshman year, Zach, I thought he was going to be a top 15 pick. Obviously, things did not go his way, and he went undrafted, and I hated to see it. And he was a kid that really could have used NIL early in his career, had a couple of the scary injuries. Do you think he could be a productive NFL receiver?
I'm more concerned with why he didn't get drafted, and it's because of his medical history and because of his spine. And the better question is, why was he playing football for Clemson? If the NFL looks at it and says, this is too risky, we can't touch this kid, why did he get cleared to play at Clemson? If it's too risky to play now,
you know the answer to that.
I mean, they literally needed him to play because they knew they weren't going to be very good. And it's, I don't know, it's just it's kind of a blemish on Dabo and Clemson in general that they would clear that kid and then all 32 NFL teams would ding him and say, no, he can't play. It's like, wait a minute, what do you mean?
I heard that like what something like 20 NFL teams removed him from their board entirely because not just not being able to play, like life threatening.
Yeah.
Like, which is absolutely terrifying. So I he was such a like his freshman year, Zach, like I thought that was the next like DeAndre Hopkins, the next Mike Williams. Like I thought he was going to be that good. I mean, what he did to Bama in the national championship game was really, really eye opening. What do you have? He had like the 3 touchdowns as a true freshman. It was absolutely absurd to watch.
I mean, him and T. Higgins were ridiculous, right? Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. I mean, he had 2 touchdowns against Notre Dame in the semifinal, 1 against Alabama, went off for 153 yards. I mean, his run in the playoffs, he averaged 24 yards a catch against Notre Dame, 25 yards a catch against Bama. They were just torching Bama. Mm-hmm. But the kid has a narrow spine channel. He can't play football. I mean, one hit could end his life, let alone paraplegic, quadriplegic, any of that. He could die if he fractures that spine. And the fact that he came back and played, we can take that gander and make that projection that he probably can't play football with how narrow his spine is, because all 32 NFL teams said so, right? And you even said it. 20 teams just took him off the board completely. Like, no, he can't play. It's not safe. And Clemson played him. Like, what kind of backwoods, all shucks, hillbilly fucking doctor said that motherfucker could still play football? It's like, oh, shit, man. Just be careful now. Just be careful when you take them hits, and you'll be okay.
Yeah, it's like, basically something like that. I do have another question. I've been watching a little bit of USFL. Do you think Johnny Dixon can produce for an NFL team?
Yeah, I mean, Johnny Dixon is a lot like there's a handful of players every year that get in that position, right? He didn't get drafted high, or he was under free agent. He goes to free agency, gets in a couple situations, can't really crack the lineup, and he just circumstantially he just didn't find a fit. Now he goes to the USFL. Granted, it's far worse football, far worse DBs. Right. I mean, the one kid I saw, he beat on a route. I was like, God, that kid's playing football? Like, it's just bad look. But Johnny's playing extremely well. He definitely can play. He's better than some players that are playing in the NFL, but it's just such a fucked up political situational league that, you know, I hope he gets another shot, but it's not likely. It's just not what usually happens. And is he better than players that are getting paid to play on NFL teams? Yes, he is better than probably a handful of players that are playing receiver in the National Football League. It's just the way it works.
Yep. All right. I want to talk NIL. Oh, people are talking about Texas had 0 draft picks.
I know.
We're back.
That is the culmination of the Tom Herman experience. It's no NFL players.
No, not one. That's actually kind of an accomplishment, man. That's tough to do. It's not like they didn't recruit well, Zach. Like, they recruited really well at Texas even during that window.
Indiana had one. Maryland had 2. Rutgers had 2. You name it. All like Missouri had 2. Look at this list. Like, Washington State had 2. Kansas had 1. Kansas State had 2. Like, you mean to tell me Texas didn't find one fucking NFL player and didn't develop one?
Especially like wild. Sleepers are considered cool. Like sleepers are considered like
San Diego
cool
State
thing.
Had 4. Like Air Force had 1.
Mm-hmm.
What are we talking about? The MAC had 6. 6 players in the MAC. Toledo had 2. Central Chattanooga. Michigan had 2. Chattanooga fucking Texas had none. None. UTSA, Texas's branch campus in San Antonio, had 2. The Austin campus had none. That would be like Ohio State, Delaware having more draft picks than the Ohio State University.
It's like what? It's like Akron.
Yeah, like Ohio State, Chillicothe had who drafted Ohio State Buckeyes 0. Like, what are we talking about?
Literally insane. Shout out, hey, just another crown for my guy Tom Herman. And I'm not giving that to Sark, man. He obviously was.
Nah, he's just getting started.
Yeah, just getting started. I do want to talk, man. Look, USC. So about 2 weeks back, Lincoln Riley went on this whole big media thing about, you know, this is messed up. The tampering's ridiculous. Yada this, yada that. The NIL, the portal, it's all bad. And then what do they go do? Backdoor channel, Jordan Addison, Kenny Pickett's out. Jordan Addison's, I guess, he's like on Tinder while in a relationship. He's not officially single. And then, boom, it gets leaked during the draft weekend. North of $3 million to go to USC. Zach, he's not even in the transfer portal yet.
Yeah, it's what's going on here is exactly what I've always said would happen, right? The NCAA has completely gone hands off because this is tampering. This is actually illegal. You're not allowed to do this, right? You can't offer someone a contract to play for your school when they're not in the portal. You can't even talk to them. That's still illegal, but the NCAA won't do shit about it. They won't even address it. They won't touch it. They're just letting it happen. No different than when Lincoln Riley and his staff were leaving Oklahoma, his assistant coaches were employed recruiting. And getting paid by Oklahoma on the road recruiting for USC. Like, this shit is so illegal. And the NCAA is just saying, you wanted all this? Fuck off. Have fun. And that's why Mark Emmert's out. He's looking at this like, oh, hell no. I'm not dealing with this shit. I'm out of here. Like, as bad as he was, he's like, I don't even know what to do. Like, it's just awful. And what we're watching right now is... And college football is getting infected.
Yes.
And it might be a terminal disease because what is going on right now is so disgustingly illegal. And it has changed. I've always been for players getting paid. And if you've listened to the show for the last year, I've been saying they need to have strict and very, very clear guidelines as to how those players get a bigger piece of the pie because it was necessary. It needed to happen. What they did was said, fuck it, have at it. And now you're going to see the most disgusting. That's disgusting. What Lincoln Riley and USC did.
Filthy.
They went and bought a player that was on a current team that never expressed that he didn't want to be on that team.
No. 2 months ago, he was saying, I plan on finishing my career at Pitt. Said, I'm excited to be here. I like being here. I want to be here. And now, I mean, I call it an organic, like a minor league system almost. Like, you get good at one of these mid-tier schools, someone's going to come knocking, and it's creating a minor league, big league system and a second farm system. So it's like, that's dangerous. And it's the crazy thing about this, Zach, is you know there's other schools. Like, you know it became a bidding war. It wasn't just $3 million off the rip. Other schools were in his DMs talking about this and that, and he just...
It's going to ruin the sport. I just hope everyone knows that. If the NCAA or someone or conferences, someone doesn't step in and create some kind of guidelines, some regulations, some things that you can and can't do, and they don't have an enforcement team that goes out and just obliterates teams that do shit like USC just did, if that doesn't happen, this sport is going to be just disgusting. I mean, you're literally not even going to be able to be a fan. Because there's going to no longer be kids that develop and you watch them for 3 years or none of that. None of that. A kid this balls out at Ohio State.
Everybody.
Who's going to pay him the most? He's going to end up there, right? It's going to be fluid college football programs that are. It's just an arms race. It's going to be a salary cap free NFL, right? Who spends? If you want to spend $200 million this year, you'll win the national championship. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, well, let's check the bottom line. How much will we make? Oh, $250? Perfect. Spend it.
This should terrify everybody, Zach. Like, Jordan Addison is making more than a lot of NFL receivers that were just drafted now. Currently, he's still not in the portal. That should terrify everybody. Like, the simple fact
that it's illegal. Yeah, I don't know what else to say. And just all eyes on the NCAA and Mark Emmert. Like, what's going to be his sail off into the sunset? Is he going to actually do anything? Is he going to do his fucking job? That's the question. Is he going to do his job? Because this is illegal. Even today, with the transfer portal, NIL, all of that, what has transpired is 100% illegal. Mm-hmm. And how they handle this will dictate the future. And if they don't do shit, if they bury their head in the sand, this is going to just exponentially explode. Like a nuclear bomb is going to go off because everyone's going to start doing it. As shady as they're trying to do it now, if they don't bite this in the ass right now, it's going to be open. They'll be on Twitter. Lincoln Riley will be on Twitter like, hey, CJ Stroud, I got $3 million for you. Come to USC.
Yeah.
And it'll be like, what are you going to do?
Yeah, it's just going to be and I'm mad at Pitt fans, man, because Pitt fans were coming out of the woodworks. First of all, they talk crazy to us just because we said he wouldn't start at Ohio State. Now they're talking crazy to the kid. It's like, don't talk crazy to the kid. Go be mad at Lincoln Riley because I'm not mad at the kid at all. The kid wanted to be there. The kid stayed through spring. He got to see Solvis or whatever throw a ball, decided – you know, maybe I'm not going to have as good of a season as I was last year. And then you got USC knocking, talking about $3 million. Zach, anybody's going. Anybody's going. It's like you have a chance to be mediocre here and maybe make a fifth of that or go to USC, go play with Caleb Williams and go obviously get the money and be productive because they're going to be more productive out there. Like, I don't blame the kid at all. This is dangerous, though, and I am curious to see who else gets involved if he doesn't enter the transfer portal very soon, because you know who else has money, Zach? Now, I don't know anything about it, but I know Bama has money. Everybody has money.
And
they need receivers. Well, they pay for receivers. They pay for them. So it's tricky. Oh, the cutoff date was yesterday? He must have already put it in then. I don't know. He can't return to Pitt. Like, there's no way he returns back to Pitt.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just wild that it what all went down. But I do want to talk, Chris, because they're my team. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about the Browns draft class.
Yes.
Because I am utterly disgusted. I really am. I'm blown away. And Browns faithful will fall in love with the David Bell pick in the third round and act like that was a good fucking pick. The fact that they drafted a corner and a DN when those are two strengths of the team. I'm not saying they couldn't use the help, but when you have glaring weaknesses at linebacker and D tackle and you go corner DN with your first two picks in the third round, not only that, but you deal your first pick and trade it away, I guess, to stockpile drafts picks later. I'm still blown away. I mean, I do like if the kid from LSU, the kicker, is anything like the kicker that from Florida that went to the Bengals, I'm in on that pick, Cade York. Other than that, I do like Perrion Winfrey. I had him kind of earmarked as a later round pick to give us some D tackle help. He's a really athletic D tackle. But they had to get another D tackle. I thought their first pick, they should have went with the kid from Alabama, as I said on the show, and they didn't. And I mean, you look at this. So David Bell, a 4.7 receiver who was just average against good defenses. I mean, he played Notre Dame, had 7 catches for 64 yards, no touchdowns. He played the Ohio State. If you want to call Ohio State a good secondary, which they weren't, they were fucking pathetic. He had 100 yards on 11 catches, so 9 yards a catch. I mean, you look at every team he played. I mean, who else was worth a shit? Wisconsin's defense was badass. 6 catches, 33 yards. Like he put up numbers against Oregon State, Connecticut, Minnesota. He did have a huge game against Iowa. That was kind of his career day when Iowa's secondary was below average. Yeah. They just had a really solid 11. Their secondary was definitely their weakness. So if you're going to fall in love with a 4.7 receiver and David Bell, I guess have at it.
The Browns drafted like they had a Super Bowl roster, Zach. Like they drafted like they had a Super Bowl roster. And
they took a bunch of question marks, project kids, yeah, right?
I'm saying like they have a Super Bowl roster. That corner's not very good, I don't think. But
he's average. Average.
He struggled in large portions. And you have so much draft capital and now capital in your cornerbacks. Why would you even take a project there?
And it's disconcerting because they just signed some mega deals, right? Deshaun Watson, Denzel Ward. You obviously had Myles Garrett, Nick Chubb. I mean, they've signed some mega deals. So the only way that they're going to have success with those mega deals is with rookies, with rookie mm-hmm. contracts. And this draft, I'm looking at it like, who the fuck is going to play Jerome Ford, the running back from Cincinnati? Why would you even draft him?
I don't know why. I was very confused. I was very confused, watching it confused, looking back confused, trying to figure out why. I mean, I know they moved from Troy Hill, but it's just it's pretty confusing.
Well, the Deshaun Watson trade is going to come down. I mean, it's going to go down in history as the most Browns thing ever. They don't have a first-round draft pick this year, next year, or the year after. Like, they're not going to be able to build a roster around him at all. And you can't hit free agency because that's just going to be too expensive. I honestly don't know what the end game is here, especially after watching their strategy in the draft. It's like, what the fuck is your plan here?
Like, why didn't they go $230 million quarterback? Why would they go Pickens or somebody with that first pick in the second round? Why would they move it?
It's mind-blowing to me. It truly is. We'll see, I guess. We'll find out. What they like. I mean, clearly they like Oklahoma kids. They drafted three players from Oklahoma. I don't know if that's like to take a shot at Baker as he exits or what it is, but they took the DN, the D tackle, and the receiver, Mike Woods. I don't know. We'll see. I guess, how it plays out. Maybe they're smarter than me.
Did it bother you or does it bother you that they seem to avoid Ohio State players? I know they took Togiai last year, but there's like this thing with the Browns where every year it feels like they just avoid Browns play or Buckeyes at all costs.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think it's that deep, but
gotcha.
It does feel that way because honestly, out of all the great players to come out of Ohio State in the last, since let's say 2012, mm-hmm. right? The last 10 years.
They went Corey Coleman over Michael Thomas. I mean, it's like, what the hell?
When Michael Thomas is literally 2 hours down the road, you can evaluate the shit out of him for cheap. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it's that serious. I think it's kind of strange that Tommy Togiai is the only player in the last decade.
Yeah. Well, Denzel Ward too.
Oh, Denzel. Yeah. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Obviously Denzel. But, I don't think it's there's anything there. It is unfortunate because I would love to see more Buckeyes on the Browns, but I don't get it. I'm literally just confused.
Confused. Well, Zach, I don't have anything else for today unless you have anything else you want to hit. I saw that. I think Drake London is one of the favorites to win Rookie of the Year. My guy Josh sent that to me. It's like plus 500 or something.
Yeah, have fun. Go waste your fucking money on that. No, the only thing I did want to mention, because I mentioned it before, is our friends of the show at creativesports.com. They have that autograph signing coming up with Matt Ryan, Deshaun Watson, Terry Bradshaw, Roquan Smith, Nick Bosa, Justin Fields, Archie Griffin, Eddie George, Troy Smith, CJ Stroud, Travion Henderson, Jaxon Smith-Njigba. I mean, a shitload of players. If you want to get something autographed, go on their website, creativesports.com, and you can either ship them something that you want them to get autographed, or you can buy something from them that is already autographed or that they can take and get autographed by any of those players. So go check it out. If you use if you tell them you heard about it from us, you get 10% off your order. So check it out, creativesports.com. That's all I got, Chris.
Me too.
Men is out.